Welcome back. It's the Let's Dig Into That podcast. This is a call to connect. We are here because we're curious, because our playing small did not serve the world. We are flawed, we are honest, and we're willing to go there. Join us as we volunteer our vulnerability in pursuit of growth and lasting change. The voice you heard chiming in a little bit.
It's me.
She is a ton of beauty in a tiny little package. She'll travel the globe with minimal baggage. It's Jordan, everybody!
Oh, that's good. I like it. Like a turtle, like to have it on my back, ready to go. The sky isn't falling, and I'm willing to wait in that line. He can turn his nerves into captivating swerves. It's my diligently vigilant boo.
Woo!
Ladies and gents, JT.
Yeah!
It's you and me. I went, this guy, Henny Penny.
So I see, based on your intro, you know what I'm going to talk about. About 2 weeks ago, I had what I would call now a little bit of a breakdown.
Okay. All right. We're going to name it. Okay.
Yeah. I've always been an anxious
person.
You're
so brave. Can I just, this is, yeah. Wow. Okay.
I've always been an anxious person. And the reason I thought this would be really good for the pod is I'm doing something for the first time. My breakdown sort of came about where I had work travel followed by, or some personal travel followed by some work travel, lack of sleep. And I didn't take care of this thing that I have always lived with called anxiety.
Oh, I can't relate at all. I have no idea what you're talking about.
And I was having just so much worry and so much concern that I couldn't sleep and I couldn't take care of myself the way that I wanted to. And what that manifested into was porcupine on fire.
Oh, yes. It did translate a bit to there was a flame that felt flammable.
And yeah, so
I'm stuttering through because I'm like, whoa.
As you know,
get it, man.
But I thought it would be compelling to share with our audience that for the first time in my life, I'm taking a medication to help me with my anxiety. And it's really opened the door into a lot of new thought processes and ways to handle anxiety. And just as a topic in general, I have such a different viewpoint than I had even 2 weeks ago.
12 days. I think we're like in the 12, 13
And so I want to talk about anxiety.
Whew, I love you. I think that is so awesome that, yeah, because you so brave and a million different perspectives here. And you've experienced, if I'm willing to go there, I am.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
That you've tried, medication has happened in the past in some form that it might have been a turnoff. That you're like,
yes,
it might not be for me.
So again, I want to give a precursor. We are learning along your side.
Yes.
We are not trying to be experts in this field.
Not professionals.
And so what's really important to talk about is these are my experiences.
Right.
And medication affects people differently. But when I got divorced and had a really hard time in my life, which we've talked about on the podcast, I have always been a big advocate into therapy. And I saw a psychiatrist for the first time and was prescribed an antidepressant.
And it didn't fit.
It didn't fit.
So
it
that's
wasn't,
a turn off.
It wasn't a good fit for me. I had really dark thoughts. I had a lot of the side effects that came from
the worst ones.
Yes. It was really a scary experience for me. So I've been hesitant and I've been afraid for lack of, I mean, that's just truly how I felt, of medication that could possibly help what I was dealing with. I also am not a huge believer of let's just throw a pill at this problem. I want to understand better. And
couldn't agree more.
This time around, I have a better understanding. I also feel like I can understand the effects of my own body when I'm taking this medication. I can kind of feel and have a good idea of what's happening inside of me, when in other times in my life where I've tried medication, I'm completely in a whirlwind and don't have any idea of where I'm sitting or if this is helping.
Okay.
And those kind of things. But so yeah, I was hesitant, I think, is what you're getting at with
that. Exactly, because I can understand when folks are like, nope, unwilling, like medication is not the root. And I'm like, that's great for you. Totally get it. And so I'm just want to give you kudos on the, you know what, this is different. I've learned from that experience. I want to take this shot. Because phrases that came out during what JT is calling his little bit of a breakdown, at one point I was like, Baby, I think we are having very different experiences.
That is what you said, yeah.
Because I was like, yeah, the whirlwind might have been occurring, and I was just in my lounge chair going like, I do not understand. And so I think being able to harness that in the moment, and then I have to give you mad props on, you were able to step back and witness. This is not a conversation that we let it cool for a week and then it's like, oh, everything's kind of simmered. And that was a one-off, because I do think sleep plays a major role.
Oh, big time.
For us being, you know, human, living animals here. And so you took really proactive steps, which, bow down, because I can't say that I think I would be capable. I'd be like, let this settle, let the dust settle, and then we'll see how I feel, which would be different because I would have slept, ate, you know, gone outside, done different things. And so mad props.
I appreciate that. And I don't want to beat around the bush here. I just kind of want to get to it. One of the major realizations that I've had in the past couple weeks in regards to love anxiety it. Is that it's actually a good thing.
Right.
Like, truly.
You were dosing pretty hard on the, like, heavy, like, being anxious. But you're right. Go, please continue.
In my lifetime, in your lifetime, I feel like there's been a shift. And again, speaking from personal experience. But
let's do that.
When I was a child, the word anxiety, I feel like, had a completely different meaning.
Totally.
It meant, like, I have an upcoming surgery and I'm anxious about it. It was always about something coming up. It wasn't a state of being.
No. Aunt Sally is nervous because we should hear back from the doctor. Like, it was exactly an imminent event. And now it is a diagnosis that comes with your passport of being an American citizen.
Yes.
And we all share it. But yeah, what a huge shift.
Yeah. And so I'm going to go back to the good. Like, okay. I realized great. How it worked. You know, we've talked about our brain function, what wires together, fires together kind of stuff. And we've talked about the amygdala, which a lot of people refer to as the smoke detector. Mm-hmm. It's the part of the brain that tells us if there's an imminent threat, if mm-hmm. there's danger. It is so necessary. I think early in my life, before I really became overly anxious, I was able to recognize moments of anxiety as opposed to just living with it the whole
time.
Waking
up with it, not sleeping with
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And so there's this shift that's happened, and I don't know if it's a society thing, a cultural thing, but the good aspect of it is when I was a kid and I had anxiety, that meant action. That meant time to prep. You're mm-hmm. anxious about this. There's something big coming up. You should be prepared. That's such a good thing. You know
right,
what I mean?
Motivating.
It's a motivational thing sometimes, but then it crosses a threshold, right?
Right.
And where I was struggling, what my breakdown really came from, was I was worrying about things that I have zero control over all the time.
Yep, not a great time for me to make a list of like, let's just, this doesn't matter. Like, no, that it can be overwhelming was what you were experiencing and depleted.
Exactly.
And that, so let's talk a little bit, because usually I get to take the reins on like control in my desire to, but I think on our beautiful little spectrum we have together, you definitely slide a bit more on the daily. Your
oh,
anxiety
yes, absolutely.
Is a little bit more peaked, where I definitely...
That's only what you can see.
Can you imagine that hamster on that wheel is yeah. just cranking? He's got his little sweatband on. I totally think your hamster is a sweatband. So is that like... We get along great most of the time, but is your anxiety, is that coming from your environment, your role models? Is that just your wiring? Like, why? I don't think we have a desire to be the same. I don't think either of us want to, you're right, that amygdala keeps us alive, where I don't want to be comatose to life. And so, yeah.
Great question. And I think you know where I'm going to go with this. Having studied sort of early childhood development and being a practitioner of trust-based relational intervention, I've studied so much about what happens in childhood and mm-hmm. how it affects us as adults. And so there are so many things that are outside of our control as far as how we are as adults that's just comes from how our parents were and how mm-hmm. their parents were and these generational things that come down. And we've talked on this podcast, my dad was such an anxious person that at his funeral, I talked about how grateful I was that he finally didn't have to live with that anymore. Like, that's the level of anxiety my dad experienced.
In that moment, take it on personally?
Possibly, but at the same time, think about it, like, disconnect from, you know, my dad, disconnect from that. But just think about growing up in a household with a parent who's constantly anxious.
Sure.
Of course I'm going to be anxious.
Even to magnify that, like, you know, obsessive compulsive disorder, like, how would you not, as a young child, process the, huh, that's what we do.
If they worry about that, I should probably be worrying about that.
So environment is clutch. And so, but are you, just because you are your father's son, are you, is there a chance for balance in your life?
Absolutely there is. And there's so many different skills and things that I have to do. But the biggest thing and that helps me, I have to be able to get out of my small little world. What happens to me when I feel anxious is it's like living in a bubble. All of a sudden, the world was this giant place. Now it's this tiny room. And I can only focus on these elements that are stress-inducing, scary thoughts. And you get in this cycle. You got to find a way to get out of that. And I physically, for me, is how I do it. Because in my head, I'm physically stuck.
With your, yes.
I need to like remember by getting out into the environment, out into the world, that I'm in a big place. And that what I'm feeling is actually insignificant in the grand scope of the world.
You've created the bubble.
Yeah, I really need to get out of the bubble and sort of reframe things. And we can talk more about that. But that's my main method is my world gets small and I instantly need to figure out how to get it bigger. Because even though it sounds crazy, that small environment that I've created with my anxiety is comfortable.
Yes, that's an excellent, huh? I wasn't expecting that curveball. But yes, I'm realizing that my anxiety sometimes manifests as productivity.
Yes.
Which I can see fitting into that a little bit.
Sometimes. A lot of people, and again, speaking in generalizations here, but one coping strategy that a lot of people use for anxiety is to stay busy. Mm-hmm. You know, let me make sure my hands are busy. Let me make sure, you know, I'm really stressed out about this book report. So
that's my my planner making plans. Exactly. That's that in the bubble.
A lot of people will over plan. Big sign of that you're an anxious person is when you're constantly planning the next thing.
Yes. Doing not really anything at the moment. But yes, so that desire for control, you're in this bubble. How are you assessing what, like, I feel like a need to productively tackle some shit. If I'm trapped in there, I'm like, let's do this one.
Absolutely.
Thing.
I think we can all agree that when you're feeling anxious and you have some tangible, actionable steps to take, it's a great way to reduce that anxiety, right? But sometimes it's really hard to see what you can do, especially when you're stressing out and anxious over things that you can't control.
Right, because my anxiety is not a reason to start unintentionally huffing, scrubbing bubbles fumes, but I'm anxiously, nervously, erratically cleaning to pacify the mess that's going on inside over, to just specify again, mostly shit I can't control.
Exactly. And how? So my question to you would be, how do you actually get a gauge on something that is within your means, something that you can impact or change, something you can control, and what isn't? Isn't that like the punchline?
How do you get, what? Serenity now, man. Yes, and what I can control is the scrubbing bubbles.
Right.
So, yeah.
And so you have this tendency to find something you can control, because it can help you with your anxiety. I think that's actually a relatively productive way to manage.
And like you getting outside, I think my blessed dogs, I heard you say that you, to the vet, taking our pup for his just little annual checkup. Oh yeah, we go, we play Frisbee, they love this, they love that, and my wife walks them 2 to 10 times a day. So that's a pretty good read on the vibe.
Absolutely. This episode of Let's Dig Into That is brought to you by...
Tired of anxiety, dry humping your nervous system without consent? Introducing Calm Balm, the only anxiety lube designed to slide your panic right off the rails and back into the soft arms of functional adulthood. Made with 0% kale, 100% nonsense, and clinically tested on people who've cried in Whole Foods, Calm Balm, because if your brain's gonna freak out, it might as well glide. Side effects may include spontaneous naps, radically honest conversations, and giving fewer Fs. Available nowhere. You're welcome. Do you think over time, because obviously life gets easier, your anxiety has gotten better, worse, improved?
Oh, I definitely think it's accelerated, gotten a little bit worse.
Okay. Yay.
And I think that that's sort of natural. You inherit more responsibilities as you get older. You have more tasks. You have more things that you have to do. The news exists. Yeah, exactly. But I also think about our society and our culture. And we talk a lot, and lots of people talk about social media and how bad it is for our mental health. I want to talk a little bit about why.
Okay.
For me personally, I it's not even like the scrolling.
They
and
call
seeing,
it doom scrolling. They
exactly.
don't give it a good vibe.
It's not even like the scrolling and seeing other people who always present happy and successful. That's definitely an element. But for me, I grew up in an age where social media didn't exist for most of my life. Mm-hmm. So now, everything that you do, like think of public speaking as an example, probably the number
anxious inducing.
Exactly. The number one, maybe most common anxiety inducing activity.
Yeah.
Imagine if you had to do that and you knew that there was a camera on you and it was going to be posted to the world and never able to be deleted.
Out in the world, edited without consent, cropped.
It's just crazy. And like,
and not one camera. Everyone's.
Exactly. And so the society and culture that we have, like, forget about the scrolling and stuff. Just the aspect of, like, everything
is
documented.
To exposure.
And it's so hard. Like, we do this podcast, and it gives me anxiety sometimes. We've talked about it. It's someone could easily take our words and misconstrue them. And we never want to hurt anyone's feelings or be insensitive or.
Right. One of my current, the highest thing on my anxiety list is saying something just stupid. Because I am at my core, I believe to be a good person. And I have no intention to offend or hurt or outcast or, cast any shade.
Right. And so what
I'm sorry.
What I'm relating that to, I'm not trying to just hate on social media so much, but one of my major coping strategies when I was younger was this will end. Tonight, you will lay in your bed and go to sleep and this will be over. I can't feel that anymore.
Because they're always listening.
Because it's everything's on the internet forever. And so that's hard for me and it's outside of my control. You know what I mean? Like why does that create anxiety for me? But it's for the events that I know, like, man, I don't want to make a fool of myself. But now if I make a fool of myself, the world sees it forever.
Right. I'm going to use the P word, perspective, because I think it is important that you are, another P word, present in that moment that you're giving this speech or you're up there in front of the group, all eyes on you. Mm-hmm. And so over time, just with the eyes, is our self-worth tied up in that? Like, is that a little ego where I'm like, but who's at home just Googling JT
right.
all night, not to discount?
Well, you just did my favorite coping skill today, which is called a reframe.
Okay.
And you literally just took the context of the situation, saw it from
just
a,
put you down right to your face here on this couch. I did. I was like, so you think everybody gives a shit about what you got to say? No one does. Nobody. Sorry. So that's not what I meant.
But exactly right. But like,
that's helping me. Yes.
That reframe, you can do that in almost every situation. You don't want to borderline on magical thinking and taking a situation and running with it where it's maybe not real.
Delusion.
But being able to change your perspective and see the situation from a different viewpoint is an extremely powerful tool in almost all situations in life where you're only seeing it from this one angle. If you can see it from the other angle, it might make you feel completely different about the situation.
How do you do that from the bubble?
It's really hard. That's why first step is getting out the bubble.
Can the bubble exist? Yeah. Are you able to, metaphorically put yourself in the shoes of another in a reframing moment from inside? Does the bubble have to disappear?
It does.
Cease to exist.
And I think what that sort of relates to is the internal aspect of anxiety and where growth really happens in, from my perspective and just my personal opinion, you have to be good inside before you can be good on the outside. And I think that that's true from almost all things. And so we've talked about that, but being comfortable, confident in yourself is like the first step in abolishing the bubble. You know, like it's a lot of insecurity that builds that bubble. It's a lot of, you know, self-doubt that creates right. that.
The self, absolutely, because there's no way you were going to kill on that stage with that attitude. Like, yeah, you can feel, I can feel it here sitting with you, that it's like, that's going to be recorded. I'm bound to flub. Even if you did great, if everyone came up and congratulated you, what I'm hearing is you wouldn't allow that in.
If I was not managing myself well, if I wasn't using my coping skills, I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't eating well, I wasn't exercising, no, that wouldn't help. But I will say, as someone who's flirted with stand-up comedy and given speeches in my life and been on stages, that first person that comes up and goes, that was awesome, it all goes away.
I'm with you, baby.
It all goes away.
Be that person for someone else. Because yes. You're like, I'm going to put that in my pocket, just ride that wave for the rest of this afternoon. It's so true. But I was fortunate enough and terrified enough to get to speak at my high school graduation so many, many, many moons ago before everyone had a camera in their hand. And how fortunate I feel for that memory to be unscathed by, because would I go back and watch it? Probably not, because I do think I took that one and I knew right who I was. I walked directly to the person who would say what I needed to hear, and then it was over.
Yes.
And so I'm with you that not having that closure of it exists out there forever is a tricky spot to be in. So how do you, measuring in your body, I'm quickly curious, measuring in your body, like where do you feel that? Like can you see the self-worth for, there's probably a better term to use there, but like do you know getting up there, like how full your tank is? Like,
yes. That's a really good question. Where I feel the anxiety first in my body is actually in my stomach. And truly, like, I know that's more of a literal answer than you were looking for, but I'll get sort of the bubble guts going on. and I really use that as when I'm doing something, or like the night before, or even on my way to something that's really causing a lot of anxiety in my life, I feel it in my stomach. And that is my cue to start doing some of my coping exercises, trying to do a reframe to see the situation. And, you know, a lot of times, like if I'm heading to, I used to work at a residential treatment facility for kids from hard places. A lot of times we'd have big behavioral issues that would cause a lot of anxiety for me. Like I'm going into work and for the next 8 hours, I have to make sure to manage this and try to keep things on track. It was an anxious role.
Hypervigilant.
Exactly. And so I would sit there in the car before going into work and I would say, you're more talented at this than anyone else in the building. You have the skill set. You're a great communicator. And I build myself up. And I would say, the best you can do is your best. Just give it your all. Like, whatever happens from there, whatever, like, you will be able to say, I did everything I could.
Gave it hell.
What else can you do more than that? You know what I mean? And just that reframe of, this is really scary. I don't know what I'm doing. This is going to be hard. Oh my gosh, what if blah, 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 blah. Just saying, do your best, because that's all you can do, really, really helps me.
Growth. That's growth right there.
Exactly. The other thing that really helps is walking into a situation that I'm anxious, saying that to someone. Hey, I'm really nervous about this. This is making me really, like, my palms are sweaty. Like, I'm anxious about
confessing
this. And what can
your
be...
your weakness just coming out there. And
what can be dangerous about that is if you find the other anxious person, they're like, oh my God, me too. Then you're like, we're going to die. Exactly.
The amygdala down under.
Right.
And it's interesting because I feel if I got the bubble guts, I would be, ooh, do I like this or don't I? Like an assessment phase. But I don't know if for you it's like, be wary, probably. And you had a lot of allergies as a child, so probably a good thing that legit bubble guts meant poison.
Well, my reframe for anxiety as a whole is that it's a good thing, and it's telling me to prepare.
Yeah, when has it protected you, I guess, and when has it sabotaged you?
So the sabotage comes when I am irrationally worried.
Yes.
Which happens to me frequently of like stupid small things. And I'm trying to think of a good example, but I love to get the mail. And I guess I worry like when I'm expecting something in the mail that it wouldn't get delivered. And so I diligently check the mail. And that's outrageous. Like I have no control over that. And so now I'm scheduling my day to the mailman.
Okay.
Not serving me.
Okay. No, let me tell you, in this, the predictability, there's no set time.
No.
That could rock your world mountains. In our hood.
Exactly, yeah. Not in the mountains. But then it serves me. Let's say I had a speaking engagement coming up, and I'm anxious about it. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to prepare the hell out of it. I'm going to practice relentlessly. I am going to perform it in front of my close friends to get some feedback first. And when I get on that stage, because of my anxiety, I will be more prepared than I ever could have been. Mm-hmm. And that's what's positive about. That's the element I want to lean into, if that makes any sense.
Exactly. Using it as fuel, as motivation. And yeah, because again, if anxiety, you have to know it's coming. Yeah, that's where that fight, flight, freeze.
Right, which is the amygdala. If we are trained to be in survival mode and constantly in hypervigilance and constantly fighting to survive, it's really, really difficult. We have to rewire our brains not to have that physical response, mm-hmm. which is what I'm doing with the reframe, which is what I'm doing with breathing work, with breath work, with all the different...
Going outside.
Exactly. Even making a playlist or journaling. Those are such positive tools to be able to get outside of that mindset, that doom spiral.
I'm going to need your anxiety playlist for sure. And I'm also going to need a sultry voice recording of that pre-get out of the vehicle pump that you're talking about.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, if you could personalize those love ninjas, if you need JT to cater specific to your career, I think we could do that.
I like it.
Colin.
Pretty sure that's insight timer.
You got this. Yeah, but I think you've got just that kind of voice. Have you witnessed a time where I might have been the more anxious one and you just didn't say anything?
Oh.
Okay, I regret it.
Well, that's one of the things I really hope our listeners take away from this is anxiety is something we all feel.
Have it, survival, can't escape it.
But being empathetic and compassionate to someone who's anxious could be exactly the tool they need to start jumping into a coping skill that levels them out and helps them regulate. You know what I mean? Co-regulation is part of our development. We learn to self-regulate later, but at the same time, if you can co-regulate with someone, it's such a powerful thing. And so you're not alone. If you're an anxious person,
no,
you are not alone.
Mm-mm.
So getting into you.
Okay.
Anytime we're meeting a new group, like for instance, we
social.
Have Writers Club this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
You've done Toastmasters.
Mm-hmm.
The day before those, I just watch you get 40,000 steps and cruise around our house. And basically, what's really funny about your anxiety traits are you focus on other things. You know what I mean?
I was just realizing the preparation piece I'm lacking because I'm like, why not just kill the time between now and then by buzzing? Have I mentioned I'm a recovering alcoholic? And so that I like to buzz. And so there is some prep, but rarely do I feel overly prepped. I feel excited where it's not that I am going to walk into this room and be like, oh, I can't even imagine. But the, as an introvert, the emotional preparing to be emotionally taxed takes it out of me. And so to prepare, I walk my ass off around. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and you do 9 other things, like you'll unload the dishwasher and then find enough dishes to put in it and run it again. And
right, rearranging cabinets. Yeah,
rearranging furniture.
Energy. And so, okay, but we mentioned earlier that I might be on an average, a little bit less anxious on the reg than you.
Sure.
And so what's something you admire about the way I handle anxiety? Did I get the dishes done?
Well, I mean, there is the element of, man, you are super productive. You might not be productive at at hand.
Nope.
You get a ton of stuff done. But I'd really say the thing that I admire about the way that you handle anxiety is you are so much better at reaching out and voicing your feelings. You have a call network of good friends, cousins, things like that, and you touch base with. And sometimes it's a text message. Sometimes it's a phone call. But I watch you do that and realize, like, even the mini breakdown I had a couple weekends ago, I really needed someone to talk to. I needed to be able to get some of these thoughts out. And you were unavailable. And that was really hard for me because I didn't have a lot of other folks that I felt like going to knowing I was in a diminished state. Does that make sense? And so what I really sort of idolize in what you do is you've got a network. Like there's 7 people in your phone right now that I think I could call.
That's accurate. I mean? That is absolutely accurate. And they know who exactly who exactly. they are. Well, interesting that I actually use the opposite. I am reaching out to do your Mother Nature moment to remind myself that the rest of the world exists and they all have their own shit going on. If I can put my energy into helping them, caring, listening, just being there, but I'm usually, and you needed on that opposite side, someone to go, hey, how you doing? Uh-huh. And sadly, it wasn't me in that moment, but made sense why. And I think it led us down a path that we're both very, very grateful for.
Absolutely.
That I was, yes, that I was like, it is me, but this is above my pay grade. It's me in a different outfit that I'm wearing.
Or maybe in a couple weeks.
And so,
you know, like.
Right. Absolutely. But the reaching out for me is when I hear that, you know, something great that's gone on in their life or something that their kiddo has done. I'm like, ha-ha. It puts, it helps me to reframe my shit in that
Absolutely.
Situation.
And you know that I've got a buddy who's stressed out beyond belief.
Oh yes. Going through it. Mm-hmm.
We're checking in on the daily. He bought a house that he wanted to flip. It's going extremely poorly. But he's making the strides and he is an extremely anxious person too. And I've just been
his
given...
coping mechanism is you, and that's okay.
He's in therapy. He's working on it, but he reaches out to me and he just throws out something. And I think that he knows, I'm pretty sure he does, that what he's telling me is irrational. He's like, this plumber hasn't returned my phone call in 6 hours.
Right.
And I'm like, he's a plumber.
Seeing it there. Yeah, seeing it there written out. You're like,
If he had said 6 days, I still wouldn't have been like, huh. Yeah. But at the same time, mm-hmm. Helping him. And giving him these messages
has helped
me.
Aww. Are you also in AA?
But that's a big thing, element of why I wanted to talk about this is mm-hmm. by saying what I'm dealing with and taking a medication, an anti-anxiety medication for the first time in my life, I want to talk about it so other people feel okay to talk about it. And just on that small experience of checking in with my buddy every day as he's going through something hard, how that's helped me has been immense. And one of our slogans is that we're all in this together. And when it comes to anxiety, I really think we are.
It is, but you start in a bubble.
Yes.
And so it is so incredibly hard to find that ground to relate. And I mean, it all goes back to walk in the room and be like, hey, are you nervous? Because I am.
Right.
You know, and there is power in that. And even if you do find the other nervous person, maybe keep introducing yourself. Keep working the room. But my, I don't know, love language, I think, for anxiety would be that venting, kind of what your friend is using, where I need to just say it out loud to see how irrational, to realize my absolute zero control of mm-hmm. whatever the game is. And we do a pretty damn good job where, especially if you, JT and I can maintain eye contact, I think we are golden where he's like, oh, she's just dumping that wagon. I'm going to nod. I'm going to give her that, you know, like, I yeah. got your back. I got your back kind of head
yes,
nod pump
absolutely.
Up. But if we lose on eye contact, which I am known to start a conversation and then exit a room, still talking, then he wants to try to fix it or provide a solution, which is a natural, you know, tendency, I think, of love and nurturing and being tender.
Guys.
And yeah, dudes have it. Yeah, it's all in there. And so that can go awry.
Oh, big time.
But, and so I don't need you to fan my anxiety in that way. But I do think venting and having a touchstone, and even if it is, I do talk to dogs on those walks, but journaling, big one there. And Jane Fonda, I love that you've had Grace and Frankie, Lily Tomlin can do no wrong, but she was doing a video diary entry to herself that I was like, that works, when I walked by and saw it on TV. Because it is, sometimes you say the things that you need to hear.
Right.
And that can really help in the reframing.
You know what I'm realizing in this moment is some of the things that we have in common when it comes to our anxiety traits and the things that make us anxious and how we combat them. And I would use the word structure. Both of us respond really well to structure. And the reason for that, for me personally, I don't want to speak for you, when there's a big task at hand, like a big undertaking, something that's going to take a long time, it's going to require a lot of work, I get overwhelmed, I get anxious, and I start worrying about elements of those things that aren't even my responsibility. Yes. You know what I mean? Right. Like, yes. I just start worrying about all of it.
We're going to have issues with parking.
Exactly. But what structure does is it actually takes this big picture and breaks it into small chunks. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say, you know, there's a big event coming up that we're planning and we're hosting it. And the big event's making me go crazy. But then you're like, hey, I need you to figure out tables and chairs. Boom.
On it.
Tables and chairs. I can handle that. Mm-hmm. What structure does is it breaks down a much larger thing into smaller, tangible, actionable steps, which is so much more easy to manage.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And both of us seem to thrive with some structure.
That's why breath work's a thing, because it's actionable. It's like, I'm going to step one. To
yes. Take.
And so actionable steps for anxiety. I
right,
like that.
Which isn't a huge
concept.
Well,
we all like structure, like knowing that lunch is around noon. We all thrive on like a meal is, you know, it's coming.
Absolutely. Well, that's why anxiety is what's outside of our control. What creates uncertainty, that's actually in the definition of anxiety, that's what's making us anxious, is the unknown. The more we can create these smaller steps of what we do know and build to a bigger picture, that is really sort of how you break out of that bubble, in my opinion, is that bubble feels really, really small, and the way that you climb out of it is step by step by step.
Yep. That's why I make my bed in the morning.
Yes, exactly.
Because it is my way of controlling. I know this is done. Presentable, and I feel, yeah, accomplished.
And now it's time for Yeditations, the thoughts in our brains keeping us from meditating.
Well, boom, sucker, because yeah. Guess what? I've been able to meditate recently.
Well,
I've had a little sessions, and you know what? I realized there's so many dumb things that I do instead. Doom scrolling and all these things that cause anxiety. Since that's the topic of the episode, obviously keep me from meditating. And I've just been doing less of that. Why do we have all these things that we do instead of the things that we know are good for us?
Right. The other things, and I haven't even considered the fact that, like, can you sit and make your brain quiet when you're anxious?
No.
When you're turning, yeah. Like, I never really thought of, like, do you, and I don't think so. Yeah. Is it a tool? Breathing, I think, is where I would be like, if I'm going to try to tone down to a sit position,
yeah, focus
I need
on
to
your breathing.
Start with maybe dance first, breathe second, try to sit.
It's so easy, but we don't do it.
No, I would water the plants, get the mail, send two real quick emails, real quick, and then I'll start dinner. It makes me anxious thinking about how it's always like, how is it 3:30? I feel like that's my time right now where it's like, where did the day go?
Absolutely. Mm.
This has been Yeditations.
So I want to know.
Okay.
I'm just going to flat out ask. When you take an anxiety medication like I've started doing, it's sometimes hard to really gauge what it's doing for you. I can definitely feel some changes.
Okay.
But I'm curious, as my partner, as the person that lives in the same space as me, do you see a difference?
We are early in this journey. And yes, I do. I do. And I want that for you. And I think that is what I'm legitimately witnessing, is it feels like your starting line has improved.
Okay.
That you have the capacity, you have the, you almost look stronger, the strength to like a little bit more of an I got this. And
okay.
So I recall the day we had travel upon travel, and you're back and you're like, I need an oil change, because travel can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And your question to me, this is the day prior to medication, was, what if there are 10 cars in line before we get there? And I was like, that's interesting, because I thought, here are my creative problem solving, my tool with anxiety. We could A1, go somewhere else. B2, give them a buzz right now from the comfort of our own home and find out if there are 10 cars. We could drive away and do it another day, because we are fortunate enough to both own a vehicle. And so we wouldn't be wheelless. There were 5, I'm sure. And I just wanted to hold your baby heart in my hand and think, like, I just knew in that moment, like, you shouldn't have to carry that around. That is such a burden of worry about who gives an F stuff. Then I was like, I am. And that's where it led to we are having totally different experiences where I was like, do I want a bagel? If we like drive by that one coffee, they got really, you know, that's where my head was. And right. We've noticed in like travel anxiety comes up, but I think we've found a way to dance together really beautifully there. Cause I can give the speech of like, truly, we aren't flying to a wedding that we're performing, you know, if we are going on vacation. And the fun stuff always happens when plans kind of go awry. I'm not encouraging it, but I'm trying to embrace it.
No, and that's so true. The travel anxiety is a good one because, like, think about
we got
that.
It.
I will get – if our flight's delayed and we arrive 6 hours later than we did, that could throw off the whole trip for someone who's living in that anxious downward spiral.
And it's true.
And that's happened. But in the reality, like, that's happened to us. And what happens is when we finally get there, we end up napping for two of those 6 hours we missed anyway. It's like, what would we have done? And it's just, and so I appreciate you giving me some feedback on that. I think that the medication will continue to have an effect as it's in my system longer. But I have definitely felt more in control of the things I can control and trying less to manipulate the things in my life that I can't manipulate that are
exhausting.
In trying to make outcomes that are outside of my control, like really just the
easier said than done.
It is
to give yourself permission to set it down. And weird, I'm just realizing that a week before a little bit of a breakdown. we started a new morning routine of, because I was tired of JT coming upstairs and then looking and assessing my early morning face for a read on how his day was going to go. Uh-huh. Not a good setup at all, ever. And so we started about a week prior with three gratitudes and one little self-love kindness out loud. Stuff that we were both doing, I hope, on our own, quietly or jotting them down. And that, I think, has definitely helped with my empowerment of, I feel like I've got a little more in my tank to kick some ass today.
Nice.
And I think it is like making those phone calls where I'm like, oh, I reminded myself of my insignificance because I'm grateful for these relationships where, and I mean the weather, it's summertime and just acknowledging that, like we had a stinking quail. If you haven't seen a quail in real life, we thought they were just cartoon. They wear these hilarious.
Yeah, like Quail Man from Doug. He's got a belt on his head.
Little hats. And so started my day with a freaking quail. What could go wrong?
There you go.
And I would have forgotten had I not needed to tell you out loud as part of my gratitude of, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. So your main coping skills, I know that you journal. I know that you get your planner out. I know that you.
Music.
Music is a big one for you.
Yeah. Sometimes angry, heavy, not even angry, but just like workout music, you know, like foot
upbeat.
Stomping where you could punch a punching bag a lot. And so, yeah, I scream in my car. That is real, whether it's parked in my garage, not often in like public to scare others, but sometimes it is a physical, I need that shit out. Cause yeah, gotcha. I've competed in sports. Like there's nervous, excitement, anxious, but life is too freaking short for us, and that's where we were losing each other. And so I am grateful to have you back in the way of what I'm like, I'm packing up a, you know, cute little snack for us to take outside, and you have the plight of man, you know?
It's going to be cold enough, we're going to get sick.
Exactly. Like, it could rain. It could rain this month. And I'm like, huh. And so I'm so grateful. I think it was incredibly brave. And again, your turnaround time has inspired me to do better because, like, it's not taking care of our health. Mental health is part of your health.
Absolutely.
And has it helped with your physical activity? Do you feel different in your skin?
Oh, absolutely. One of my gratitudes today was that I feel like I'm gaining fitness. And I even said to you, like, if I work out for like a 10-day stretch and don't feel like I'm in better shape, I'm like,
quitter.
Yes,
quitter.
I'm done.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's really helped me be more regimented in the things that I need to do. And again, I don't want this to be a plug for medication. I want this to be destigmatizing it. I want people to be comfortable in saying, like, yeah, I take an anxiety medication because it really helps me see what I'm being irrational about.
Right. Anxiety is, you know, trendy, and not discounting the fact, like, if you don't have a diagnosis, you aren't, you know, opening
your
phone.
All
you're living in
anxious.
A cave.
And right. It's something we all feel. And if we could practice
good anxious.
Exactly. It's good for you. It tells you to prepare. It tells you that there's a possibility of a threat or danger. Like, anxiety is naturally something that's built into our system that is supposed to benefit us. Let's take it back.
Right. So life goal, would it be like impossible life goal, but never associating with the word anxious, but saying I'm very in touch with my feelings. Like, I know that I have the fight or flight going off as a feeling inside me, and I respond and react in that way. Because do we have to be anxious? Does everybody at some juncture, are we forced to?
Yes. Anxiety is a response. And again, originally designed, we think, through the amygdala to tell us about danger or a threat. But at the same time, it's a protection tool. And we need it to be a protection tool. But you can use that tool to your advantage through, okay, I've got this bubble gut thing. This is what I need to do to cope. This is how I'm going to regulate. You can use
alcohol.
You can use it as an indicator.
Right. I feel like that was the slippery slope with alcohol, of like, oh, having a cocktail before you go out to, you know, squash any social nerves, having that little pre-party moment. I don't know if I ever would have had any doctor say, oh, she has anxiety. I prescribe booze, obviously.
Like, no, actually, I would say, alcohol increases your anxiety and stress.
My personal experience is that
in the long
true.
Term. In the long term.
It's true that I did not. Yeah. I mean, yes, my inhibitions were lowered, but the payoff was not, anxiety was not.
Yeah. Alcohol, a lot of people will use it to self-medicate, and it's a small blip in time. Because you're going to be more anxious in the long run.
Yeah, waking up.
And
the
we
next
know
day
that
with, like,
for fact.
What stories did I tell that I shouldn't have told?
So I want to close on a question because we're running out of time.
Fine.
What is the biggest lie your anxiety has ever told you?
Ooh, that's tricky. Because again, have we, like, the masquerading as intuition, I feel,
ooh,
is one that I'm real good at justifying shit to myself. Like, oh, this cocktail, this Paloma will make me a hoot at the party. But I think that on a larger scale that I can be rather impulsive. And so my bubble guts, and I won't look back. And so I think my anxiety likes to masquerade as
intuition,
my actual good idea.
Huh.
And that can be a slippery slope. As far as the biggest one, I'll keep considering. But that's tricky. But yeah, I feel like that's my danger zone.
Gotcha.
What about you? I kind of left you hanging a little bit.
Well, we sort of talked about social media and other people's thoughts. I think that anxiety makes me think people are thinking about me way more than they actually are.
Yeah, I pointed that out for you. And I think that is huge.
Yes. And I think that that's really important. And that's sort of what I mean by the insignificance of ourselves. That's a good thing. I really like being able to see how big and beautiful the world is, or even that your boss at work has 50 people to manage. The chances that they're thinking about, I wonder what JT's doing on his lunch break. Probably not happening.
Probably,
you know what I mean?
Not happening. Mm-hmm. So all about that reframe.
People are constantly thinking about what I'm doing.
I am. No, but I'm so proud of you. I am so grateful. And again, full permission to say doesn't work anymore. I feel different.
Absolutely.
But I think that it's...
we're learning together.
You didn't deserve to have to feel that way. And I'm so, grateful that you were proactive.
You're amazing support. Thank you so much.
I have my moments. Oh no, but right back at you. Thanks for being my venting vessel.
Always.
At times.
Well, shit, I think this was honest.
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about it.
You went for it. I know. Really appreciate your bravery. Thanks for being here with me.
Awesome. Thank you, babe.
All right. Well, I'm Jordan.
And I'm JT.
Until next time.
Be brave, beautiful friends.
If this episode hit you in the gut, in a good way, please don't keep it to yourself. Share it with a fellow anxiety warrior, a curious friend, or that coworker who chews ice and makes your nervous system twitch.
And if you want more tools, more stories, or just to know that you're not alone in this weird, wonderful experiment of being human,
subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, write something spicy maybe, like, "This podcast makes me feel seen and slightly aroused."
We will take it.
Stay tender, stay curious, and tell your anxiety, "Thanks for trying, babe, but I got this."